welcome everyone to another edition of No Filter Sports. We are recording this on Thursday, May 23rd. I got the date right. I had the last one wrong. Eli Zarrett, Danny McClain, Bob Page. A lot to talk about today. Juwan Howard, new coach of Michigan. We got the little backstabbing, backbiting Lakers, kind of a little drama from soap operas. Got the Tiger situation on the verge, perhaps, of getting swept by the Miami Marlins, and also Chris Illich responding to the huge Detroit News article that actually came out after he talked to Cranes about the debacle that is District Detroit. So much more to do, but let's start with the exciting basketball news, and I'm not talking about the exciting basketball news that the WNBA season opens tonight. No response there.
We better be careful.
I got one response to that.
Let's be careful.
And you'll relate to this, Eli. Oi! Who knew?
Oh, no, who cared?
Oh, no!
Don't you like the chances of Bill Lane Beer's Las Vegas Aces to take it all this year in the
WNBA?
I thought he was still coaching right down the street from me here in New York at the Garden. I thought he was a New York women's coach. I don't know.
He is the best women's
coach.
What?
Have you ever been to a WNBA game?
Many of them.
It's the weirdest thing in the world because the crowd is mostly women and there are a lot of kids. So whenever everybody gets excited and their cheers is up, it's at a high pitch, like it's at a soprano pitch instead of at a regular sports event where it's mostly men, and you hear the lower pitch. It's kind of amusing and pretty weird.
It's
the other thing, too, is when they swear at the ref, they say, "You darn ref, I don't like you anymore."
It's a lesbian haven at those games. Not that there's
nothing
wrong with that.
Come on.
You see a lot of very
awful.
Very attractive same-sex couples.
That's terrible.
And many of them have children. It's
brutal.
It's a sociological experiment. No.
What's wrong with
that? Awful. What?
I think that Eli Zarrett should be suspended from this.
For at least a
for
week.
For saying that.
So
there's a guy named Gary Dolphin. I just read this the other day, and this happened a couple months ago.
God.
He's a longtime Iowa play-by-play guy. Been around 100 years. He's a great play-by-play guy. Last year, during an Iowa football game, he referred to some monstrous player as, and I quote, a gorilla, suspended for the rest of the season.
That's ridiculous.
Do you remember when Mark Fidrich said, who was that big gorilla up at the plate when the Yankees sent up Cliff Johnson to bat?
And
Fidrich
would
have been suspended from baseball.
Yeah, Fidrich, he didn't mean anything by it. I mean, Fidrich would not have been.
Of course
you know what I'm
saying. Well, it's like Howard Cosell saying, look at that little monkey run, which was what he said about his grandkids. I mean, he's a little monkey. So to make the illusion from monkey and gorilla that it's talking about a black person is just a terrible leap because we all come from the same place. We all came from Neanderthals and Homo sapiens and all that.
Now, I just have a question for you. I'm really tongue-tied with, why the hell would you even say anything like that?
It's a joke, man. Can't you take a joke?
I can take a joke.
I've worked with you
for 500 years.
No. He's a mean-ass, mean-spirited, backbiting, woman-hating man who also hates the LGBTQ crowd or whatever they call
not
it.
Not true.
And he needs to be... Danny, can you and I handle the show ourselves?
Yeah, sure.
What should this suspension be for me? Like 2 months? 1 month? You and I will do it ourselves.
A couple of weeks. A couple of weeks until he brings in a check.
Guy came up to me yesterday, old guy, much older than me. And he's talking about lefties, meaning left wingers.
Be careful what you talk about.
I'm going to be very careful.
He's easy with the word old.
He said lefties, and he was referring to the fact that a lot of women who are transgender or have moved over are in women's races. And I said, it's got nothing to do with lefty or righty. I say that anybody who had two testicles should never be able to run in a women's race no matter what. That's just the way it is. So don't call it left or right. That's just the way it is.
I think it's wrong too.
Ridiculous.
The WNBA games I've seen, there are far fewer left-handed shooters among the women than there are right-handed shooters.
I'm sorry I did this. Should we start the whole thing over again?
Let's just pretend you're in it now.
All right, so
you're not backing out of this now. You've got to own it.
I think the hiring of Juwan Howard is very interesting.
By the way, before you go on, I may bring in the two lesbians who live next door to me.
I love lesbians.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to prove it.
I love lesbians.
I'm going to give you a chance to prove it.
I'm just saying that there are certain places that are gathering places for them, and one of them is WNBA game, and I kind of like it.
These are lovely lesbians, Lisa and Holly, and you'll love them. If you really love
all,
them.
Have,
why are you assuming I'm not?
Well, I'm not assuming anything.
Here we go.
Please.
Anyway,
and
so
after all, we have a mainly male audience, so who doesn't love a little lesbo action once in a while?
There's a suspension right there.
Me, God.
Anyway, so it's interesting because Juwan Howard has never coached in the NBA or in college or in high school. And Ward Manuel, who's the athletic director, had said one of his criteria in the beginning was he wants a coach with a track record of a winning head coach in college. So he didn't get that. And it's kind of, in a sense, and I won't get too far afield here, kind of when Jim Harbaugh was hired, in that there were no good candidates. You know, they were talking about Greg Schiano, and there was like no number two. It was Harbaugh or the rest of the field was all awful. There was no number two. And in this situation, there was no real, there was no coach out there that could fit the criteria. And I kind of think it fell to Juwan Howard. I'm not saying that's a bad choice. He's not going to do a great job. But there were no coaches with a track record for Ward Manuel to hire in this strange signing period being May.
Well, a couple things. Number one, can he replace a legend? The other question right behind it was Beilein a legend? I mean,
yes, he was a legend.
Well, okay, that's your definition. But this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid he's going to go out and sign his buddies, the guys he played in the Fab Five. And I don't mix, just like baseball.
Well, he can't, because Jalen's not available and Chris is not available. So they're not available.
Let me finish. There's other guys available. Let me finish. Major League Baseball is the worst example of what they hire.
The good old boy network.
They hire men that hug each other all the time, and they keep those guys. Dick Trzaskowski's a perfect example.
I know.
He was a coach for every major league manager in the history of the Detroit Tigers. I swear he was.
Well, he was one of Sparky's guys, like Billy Consolo,
guy.
Alex Grammas.
Everybody's guy. So my point is, don't get hooked up by bringing in your buddies and your pals. They will not serve you well, because they, at that point in time, want a coach's job.
That doesn't concern. I'll let Bob. Obviously, Bob. I can't believe Bob hasn't talked in that long. Is he still on?
I'm shutting up and letting you guys go on about this before we get to the real deal, which is me and my comments.
I think Bob is afraid to talk after that Lesbo action.
The last thing I want to say for the moment before Bob gets in is, the question I have is, what is his vision? Beilein coached a certain way.
Yep.
Does the new coach come in and try and project or continue that vision and keep this defensive wizard and this Yaklich guy, Luke Yaklich, or does he go in a completely different direction? That's what I want to know. What his philosophy, what his vision is, and maybe when he has a news conference, probably the next day or two, we'll find that out. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Eli. Well, his vision is, number one, get on the bleeping phone. Iggy says he's going to the NBA draft, but that was before Juwan was named, and it's not irrevocable. He better be. I know he already has talked. Iggy, come on, buddy. We need you back. We're going to build something. Get on the phone and call Jalen Wilson. Do you know who that is? Jalen Wilson is Michigan's top basketball recruit. Beilein leaves, and he reopens his recruiting. So what's going to happen is he's going to have to get Jalen Wilson to stay at Michigan. He's got to convince Poole. Matthews, who cares about? He's a good defender, but they're not going to miss him at all. So he's got to hold the fort immediately, and then his vision is to win a national championship. And why can't you at Michigan?
There's no chance those guys are going to change their pro aspirations and the draft position that they anticipate, that their agents and their parents and their old coaches and everybody they know has told
that
them
depends.
To do to come
depends
back to
position.
Michigan. I don't see that happen. He should make the call. I'm not disputing that, but that ain't going to happen.
And one other thing you said at the intro was that these guys are tied up with other teams. Almost any major league sport, and college is a major league sport, you can get out of a contract real easy. Just go to the administration and say, listen, I've got this great opportunity with Jalen Rose, and I just want to go play with Juwan Howard. I want to go play basketball with Juwan. So you can get out of any deal. Contracts are not forever.
That's not a matter of it. I understand that. But these kids have already decided to go pro. And it's not
I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about hiring the coaches that we talked about.
Oh, don't worry about that, Denny. Denny, just don't worry about that. They're going to be fine. He's not going to hire all his Bobos. As Eli says, they're already busy. They'll be fine with whatever assistants they hire. Now, Eric Spoelstra, you see this, the longtime Heat head coach, says in the newspapers on Thursday as we record this, quote, he is an absolute star. Was a long time.
Meaning of Howard.
Juwan Howard's an absolute star. So here's what I want to know. I don't care about what Spoelstra says publicly. I haven't seen a single quote from Tom Izzo. I want to know what they really think. And the best way to do that, go up to East Lansing later on today, sneak into Tom's house, cocktail hour this evening. Tom and Lupe are sitting around having a couple of drinks, relaxing, and they're talking just between the two of them about Juwan Howard. What is Tom saying to Lupe? Yeah, this guy's a lightweight. We're going to blow him out. Or this guy, I'm worried about this guy. I don't know.
Last thing I got to say about that is, you know, I see comparisons with the Harbaugh situation in that there were no other coaches really available at the time. But, you know, he came in, Harbaugh did in football, that was in a bad situation. This Michigan team is doing great right now, and the pressure is on Howard to keep it going and not take a step back.
That's
right.
It'll
be very difficult to maintain continuity, as Bob said, losing two starters, Brazdeikis and Poole, and also having to hire a new staff and all that.
What does that do to the kids who have agreed to come to Michigan? Can they back out right now with a new coach?
What we just said. Yeah. I was just talking about Jalen Wilson. He can come back into the fold if he wants to, and Juwan's going to be talking to him. It's the bottom line about Juwan is, who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Exactly.
There have been so many coaches in all four major sports who've been hired essentially without portfolio, and they turned out to be great. And there have been so many great coaches hired who turned out to be terrible and got fired. You just don't know.
And Ward Manuel used the word I hate most out of all words in sports. He said he has an unbelievable knowledge of the game. So it's beyond human belief systems, the knowledge Juwan has.
That's your little pet peeve.
That's my little pet peeve.
Unbelievable is a completely legitimate word.
I take that back in all my lesbian comments. Okay, I want to rescind that from the, public record.
It doesn't mean not believable. It means something is great.
Once
that's
again,
what unbelievable means.
I'm so tired of being misinterpreted by my co-hosts and everybody else.
We never misunderstand.
We know what you said about Lesbos at the top of the show, and that can't be misinterpreted.
Did not use a negative, pejorative word like that. Anyway, so let's talk about the Tigers a little bit. Or do you want to do District Detroit first? This is just a fascinating and ugly story that is a front page thing in the Detroit news today. I didn't see it in the news. You know, in the old days, if you heard about an article, you had to go out and buy the paper. Now you just go online and look at it. It looked like an incredibly multi-page story as we dig deeper into what the heck has gone on with the Ilitch family's promise to build this incredible district of all the square, the footage there. That was it. I don't know how large it was, but block after block after block. And so the response that Chris Ilitch had when he talked to the Cranes yesterday was, our timeline has proved to be a bit aggressive. So, yes, it was all supposed to be so much happening by 2017, and we're well past that now. And all that's been built is Ilitch, you know, properties that they take care of.
They first developed most of the properties for parking. I mean, and yet they were mandated by the city to have that many parking places, by the way. So I guess we can sit here and criticize Chris, but on the other hand, he was mandated to do certain things. But his vision, including the renderings of sidewalk cafes, people strolling in the evening, and buildings of old and new filled with new tenants, new hotels, renovations going on everywhere, and none of it's been done. That's what people are upset about, nothing else. I mean, in this town, we've learned a lot of things. There's not one thing. When you say something to somebody in this town, you better do it.
Yeah. And you know,
here's the thing about this comment that you're saying Chris Ilitch made. The Detroit News reported that the Ilitches were not available for comment. Now, I opened the Detroit Free Press Thursday morning, and I see that John Gallagher, that's the reporter you were referring to, Eli, John Gallagher got him. John Gallagher tried for weeks and weeks and weeks, reportedly made many contacts, and they refused to comment until this. Now, if you people out there don't know the name John Gallagher, you should. He's pretty much a star newspaper writer in Detroit. He's been around a long time, and he's very good. So, yes, Ilitch made that comment to John in a 15-minute interview. That's all he gave him. They were overly aggressive. One of the fans, the people writing in and were quoted in this Detroit Free Press article, guy says, quote, I just don't think they know how to do it, meaning developing the District of Detroit. So that begs the question, are they missing the late Mike Ilitch?
Yep.
You know Chris Ilitch. I've never met Chris in my life. Is Chris Ilitch a lightweight in way over his head? Do you think this would have happened if Mike Ilitch were still alive? I'm asking. I don't know Chris Ilitch, but it doesn't look good.
I'll tell you this. I think he will grow eventually into Mike's shoes. I don't think he's aggressive as Mike. Mike just wanted a winner all the time. I think Mike would have started building quite some time ago if he was still with us. So I think that's what's fallen down. Their focus here, Chris's focus, was on something different away from winning. See, that's the first thing. Ilitch would have at least put a real good competitive team on the field, at least
absolutely
acceptable to the public.
Absolutely. Since Chris has been running the teams, what has happened to the Wings and the Tigers?
Oh, boy. I mean,
it's a disaster
they're both in the pooper
since Mike's been gone.
There's a certain arrogance Is it him? Is it the organization? I just don't see why you can't say, you know, we were too aggressive, but we owe the city and all the money that was forwarded to us in order to do this. Here's what we plan on doing. Here's our timeline, and we're going to make good on this. That's our every intention. So say what you're going to do. Make it aggressive and make it fulfill the promises that were made, and go do it. Well, that's all.
Number one, come up with a plan you can live with. But I do not think he's arrogant. I just don't. The times that I've been around him, the good things I hear about him, he's not an arrogant kind of guy. He's not a guy that uses the word I all the time. He's not a speechless type of guy if you take the word I away. I think the focus was misjudged. That's all. They went to the wrong place, and they didn't do it quickly enough. In other words, instead of just going out and building buildings, do a little bit together. And give the fans something to cheer for, too. A baseball team. Give them a hockey team. Give them something that...
I think it's a separate story, Denny. Totally separate story.
Listen, it's all one. If you lose your focus, you lose your focus. And that's what I think they did. They lost their focus.
A lot of focus. So you lost your focus on a $400 million promise, and you lost your focus on two teams you own. That's a lot of lost focus.
Hey, Lesbo, listen to me.
What the heck is going on here?
They took 400.
That's a pejorative.
They took $400 million from the state of Michigan.
Yep.
We're all entitled to something here.
Yeah, we're entitled to answers. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And it took him. The thing that he did wrong is he waited so damn long to respond to all of this.
That's right.
So the Ilitch family is a very, very proud family, and they should be. Mike was a self-made multi-billionaire, founded his pizza business, the Tigers, the Wings. Now Mike's gone. In the wake of all this, in the wake of the Tigers and the Wings, there are a lot of people around the Detroit metro area who are pissed at the Ilitches. But think about this. There are also a lot of people who are laughing at the Ilitches. How do you think that makes Marion feel? How do you think it makes the Ilitch family feel to know that people are now laughing at them? Are you kidding me?
Why are they laughing at them?
Are they laughing or are they angry?
A lot of people are pissed. But other people laughing at them. Ha ha, look at these clowns. They don't know what they're doing. Mike's gone and they got no clue.
You're right. He's right about that.
The Ilitch family is a proud family.
Hang on a minute.
He's right.
I understand people being upset with them. No question about it. But why would they be laughing at them?
Because they're failing with the Wings. They're failing with the Tigers. And they're failing to fulfill their promises with the city.
So they're enjoying failing with our money?
Anger. He's saying there's both emotions. Angry.
Derision.
Derision. Right. You know, like
derision, you know. My ass. They misfocused. Everything. They just missed it.
Okay. That's a separate
topic.
I'll
pick it up.
I agree with him. They're laughing and they're all upset. We have been laughing at the Tigers, have we not? And we continue to laugh at the Tigers. They may get swept this afternoon by the Miami Marlins.
We're taping this Thursday morning. By the time people listen, the game's going to be over.
It's a Thursday afternoon. They may get swept by the Marlins. They may not. But the point is they've lost 7 or 8 games in a row, counting the suspended game. And, you know, is this what we're going to get all summer? I'm thinking, do people care anymore? Are Tiger fans on like a team-imposed sabbatical? Have they just vacated? Because nobody's at the ballpark. Weather has had something to do with it,
right.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
But the combination of weather and a team that has no discernible stars, their one discernible star can't hit a home run anymore, and also the knowledge that whoever comes here is going to go anyway. Matt Boyd pitches Thursday afternoon. All we hear about Matt Boyd is, will they trade him?
Philadelphia, of all places.
Yeah, and so, you know, is the story that nobody cares? And if that's the story, it's not going to last very long. But is this what we're going to get all summer? Error play games started by AAA pitchers, and we have to hear our beleaguered announcers painfully apologize for them inning after inning after inning. And I just want to say this right now. I like Jack Morris. Always like Jack Morris, and I love the way he analyzes pitching on the show. I am tired of him saying, and it's beyond him to keep on saying, well, let's just hope we can score a run here. Let's get out of the park, you know, when the ball... Stop the shameless rooting. Just tell us what you know. Your knowledge is great. Don't buy into the fact that you got to kiss ass every time you open your mouth.
All guys on broadcasts in every sport do that, Eli. You know that. How many times have we talked about
this?
They want to keep their jobs.
How
they
blatantly
keep their jobs,
you do
kiss
it.
Ass.
It's how blatantly do you do it on every play. Hey, let's just hope, you know, God forbid, you know, all this stuff. Just let them play the game.
Now,
drop
hey,
in there. Or Matt Shepard getting so excited at a long fly ball that's 20 feet short of the wall like it might have gone out. So,
well, it's self-serving. That's all. They're trying to do anything.
I don't think you need to do that, though. You're not going to lose your job by just telling it like it is.
Absolutely,
Danny,
but
Danny,
they got yes, sir.
I got a question
yes,
for
sir.
You. So Eli mentions Matt Boyd. This kid, we really believe, is a quality pitcher.
Think
about this. He pitches Thursday afternoon, another losing streak. How much pressure is on this guy knowing that if he isn't a stopper, this losing streak might go on, and it's continuous?
You know, the difference between the pressure is they're not fighting for anything other than just a win. If they were in the middle of a pennant race, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stuff that goes on his back, and he's got to carry somebody through the fifth, sixth, seventh inning. In this situation, all he wants to do – listen, I was in the clubhouse one day last – I've only been in that clubhouse five times in my life. The last time I was in there, I heard two players talking about, hey, don't worry about winning. Just go out there and give him the 100 pitches and pitch well. Because as long as you're pitching well, you're going to get a raise the next time your contract comes up.
That's true.
I thought that was the worst thing I've ever heard. You go out there to win. You just don't go out there to pitch well. Yes, pitching well goes first. But winning is what it's all about. Win. You know what? The Tigers have got, I've always said this, if you're a good team, you win 1-0 or 2-1 or 3-2. If you're a bad team, you lose 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, and 15-1. I mean, that's what's happening with this ball club. They have no sign of talent. I mean, I picked up one of the papers the other day, and I just want to read this. Give me 15 seconds. This is what the opening started with in the article. Zimmerman update. They're recalling Dowell Lugo. They optioned Candelario to Guam someplace. They released Rupp.
It's either Guam or Keokuk with him. It was only two towns in the world.
Ross is now on the injured reserve list. Verhagen outright to AAA. Harrison is coming back, and they activated Hardy. Now, my question is, that was the lead paragraph for the story.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Brutal. Now, guess what happens now? Now I get to see him up close and personal because they're coming here to New York to play the Mets for three on the weekend. I'll be there in person on Saturday afternoon. I watch the Mets a lot, and I was watching the last few nights. And, Denny, you'll get a big kick out of this. They're talking last night. We had a great pitching matchup here. It was Max Scherzer, you know.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, yeah. We had Max Scherzer here last night against Jacob DeGrom. So here's what Gary Cohen, the Mets play-by-play
guy. Before you finish, what was the final score?
Well, the Mets came back and won, and it was 6-1.
Oh, so Scherzer got beat up.
Okay, go ahead.
No, he didn't. He was out of the game by then. And that's where I'm going to.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to. So Gary Cohen says, you know, Scherzer's thrown a ton of pitches. He hadn't thrown over 100. He has thrown at least 110 pitches, gasp, over the last four starts. There's only one pitcher in all of Major League Baseball last season who threw at least 110 pitches over four straight starts. That's Gio Gonzalez. How many times did you and Lolich throw over 110 pitches in four straight starts?
We averaged about 115 pitches in a nine-inning game, 115 to 120.
That's not many.
And that was it's not many, not many at all, because the difference was, and I don't know why this difference is other than maybe they just don't throw as well control-wise, we concentrated on throwing strikes. We had a basic philosophy. Get the first pitch a strike, and everything else gets a little bit easier. They don't do that today. They throw changeups when they're ahead of a hitter now. They throw lollipops when they're ahead of a hitter. I call it the Mickey Lolich syndrome.
Hey, Mickey had the best arm
I ever saw in my life. Let me finish. Mickey had the best arm in his life. I thought he should have won 400 ball games. That's the kind of arm he had, because we all saw him go out there time and time again. And when he'd get a guy 0-2 and he's winning the ball game 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, all of a sudden he start throwing lollipops on the plate, and all of a sudden we're behind 4-3, 4-2. So it's that syndrome they're pitching in, and for some reason we don't have a pitching coach. We don't have anything worthwhile that is coaching and teaching. Maybe you don't have to teach. You're not supposed to teach guys in the major leagues, but you know what? These kids need help.
So last night, Denny, what I'm trying to tell you, Washington gets runners on first and second. They're two out. Here comes the pitcher to bat, Max Scherzer, who handles the bat fairly well.
Yeah, he does.
Syndergaard threw him, Denny, four straight sliders, and then finally got him out on a curveball. Didn't go to the fastball one time. It's just unbelievable some of the stuff that you're seeing that's going on now.
It is.
Now, another thing Gary Cohen said, talking about Scherzer, Max got 7 years, $210 million. We all know that. And Cohen says that contract has paid off in spades, but has it? Now, he won two straight Cy Youngs with Washington. He's a great pitcher, great record. Has Max Scherzer meant, A, more fannies and seats in Washington, or B, how many World Series have they won? So was Max Scherzer worth that money?
Listen, he's worth that money because somebody paid it. And number two, yes, he won two Cy Youngs. He's worth the money. But he's not worth the money if you're going to try to calculate it directed towards butts in the seats. He just doesn't do it. He just doesn't put a lot of people in the ballpark.
He's part of a team that attracts fans, yes. Just like this team doesn't attract fans.
It doesn't.
I tell you, I hope this is not one of those uniquely bad seasons. The uniquely bad seasons, and by the way, they're up to 7 or 8 losses. I was thinking the year before I started regularly, 1974, the Tigers lost 19 straight games. Yeah. Still a record. I remember Ray Bear.
Oh, I remember.
Ray Bear broke the streak at 19. The next year, they lost 102 games in 75. Point is, in 89, Sparky takes that leave. They lose 103 games. Buddy Bell lost 109 games in 96. Trammell lost 119. They're not going to lose that many games this year, but it's just one of those uniquely bad seasons I think we're going to talk about for a long time.
And, you know, they can blame the weather all they want, because I saw even Ilitch during his press conference alluded to it. And I got to tell you something. It's not the weather, folks. By the way, both teams play in the same weather. One team is scoring 15 runs. We're scoring one.
I was talking about people in the stands.
I got three names for you boys, okay? Let's test you. Pete Alonso. Who's that?
Big hitting major leaguer. I forget.
I agree with him.
He's a rookie with the New York Mets. He's got 16 home runs already.
Oh, my God.
Name number two. And here's a guy I really like. I thought he did a really good job for the Tigers. Rajay Davis.
Yes, Rajay.
Oh, I agree.
He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
He's playing at Syracuse. The Mets have him down in the minors. He gets a call yesterday.
Oh,
get your butt up here. We need help. He arrives in the third inning. You see him on TV coming into the dugout, and then they pinch hit for him with two men on. Rajay Davis, pinch hit, 3-run homer. That's the victory.
He had a huge hit for Cleveland in the playoffs
years
ago.
And the other name I got for you, I want to test you out on this one, too, and I hope you know this. Brandon, of course, is chomping at the bit. He knows all these guys.
All of them.
Anthony Rendon. Who's that?
Yeah, and he's on the DL going under surgery.
False. Who was Anthony Rendon?
Third baseman for the Nationals.
He was a relief pitcher here.
He's one of the top third basemen in Major League Baseball.
Who's Rendon? We had a Rendon.
That was a pitcher.
That's what
Anthony
I said.
Rendon. No. So here's the thing. Game the other night, Monday night, Cohen and talk about Rendon says, you know, he'll be a free agent at year's end. Boy, and he's having a tremendous start to his walk year. When I was a boy growing up in Detroit, if they had said that about Al Kaline in 1960,
this is a walk year.
This is Kaline's walk year. we're just going to lose Al Kaline? What do you mean he's going to leave the Tigers? I don't get why people support this game as much as they do. I really don't.
Well, you talk about Kaline and being traded and what have you. That's a little story. In 1967, after we lost by a half a game or a full game, whatever way you want to call it, Jim Campbell went out of his way during the winter of 67 to try to trade Kaline and I together to the Minnesota Twins. Did you know that?
After 67?
Yes, sir, after 67.
I know they were trying to trade you because in 68, your big year, you started as the number 4 man in the rotation.
That's exactly
I think
right.
You were behind Sparma. No, you were behind.
So,
yeah,
I was behind Sparma at the time. Yeah. And well, I had already won 20.
Was it Killebrew, Tony Oliva? I mean, they would have to give up a fortune to the Tigers to get the two of you. What was the trade?
Well, I don't know. We never knew. We knew Killebrew was coming here, but that's the only guy that we were ever aware of that was coming to the ballpark. And this ballpark fit him. My God. I mean, he hit 400-foot pop-ups like they were.
Campbell would have traded Al stinking Kaline. I can't believe it.
Yes, sir. All winter long. And he pushed Minnesota. Nobody else, for some reason, was extremely interested in Minnesota. Yeah. And, boy, he pushed and pushed and pushed. We didn't find out about it for about 2 years.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Just shocked the hell
anyway,
out of me.
Anyway, we're going to talk a lot more about we got Magic and the Lakers coming up, the story with the St. Louis Blues. But first of all, newsflash, LASIK surgery doesn't cost $299 as much false advertising will claim to lure you in. When it comes to your eyes, bargain shopping isn't highly recommended. What is recommended? Go to Michigan's most experienced eye surgeon, Dr. Yaldo, who claimed 30,000 happy LASIK patients. He's given amazing eyesight to hundreds of our listeners, enabling them to throw away their glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. He offers discounts, half off. He offered the price until May 15th, but you can still get great financing, 0% for in many cases. So LASIK from Dr. Yaddle eventually pays for itself. For those of you 45-plus like me, the state-of-the-art multifocal lens implants solve your reading issues, like his custom LASIK often gives better than printing. Look how small this print is, Denny.
How can you read that?
I can read that because I got multifocal implants.
I can't barely see you.
They've changed my life. I wonder how I put up with
glasses on
with the daily annoyance of glasses and contacts all those years. Mention us No Filter Sports. You get a free evaluation as well, and you'll get a nice discount on your surgery. Just call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Go ahead.
Now, is that the reason why you make the print so big, Brandon, for me?
That's right, for your David Hall read. Go ahead.
Hall Financial, one of our great sponsors on the Red Shovel Network. They are good people. Drew and Mike show, No BS, News, ML Soul of Detroit, and now No Filter Sports. That's us. If you are thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you tons of money. You can email David at dhall@hallfg.com or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. I'm laughing because Eli's smiling.
She says you gave the website
because I give the website too many times. That's okay. They're a sponsor. Perhaps it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Give David Hall a chance and get lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. They have over 700 now.
Yes.
Five-star reviews. That's 700.
No greater testimony to giving good customer service than five-star reviews.
That's exactly right. And 800's coming soon. That is a testament to their customer service. The industry average for refi now is 44 days. That's in the industry. But Hall Financial averages only 19 days. They will fight for you even if you have a dent or a car accident in your credit history. Email at dhall@hallfg.com. That's dhall@hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. That's 248-308-5000 and tell them Denny, Eli, and Bob sent you.
Please call because
No Filter.
If people don't call, he's not going to stay as a sponsor and we want to keep him. So use David Hall. We endorse him. And you'll be one of those 700
plus. He's a nice man.
Go ahead.
If people only knew how difficult this show is for me to do, first of all, to deal with you, Denny, I have to fortify myself with wild turkey for a half hour before I go on. And then for you to deal with Eli, who's always, since 1968, nothing's changed, higher than a kite. He's laughing because he's having a good time.
I mean, never get stoned before I go to work, so cut that out.
Now it's my turn to say, if you want to get in touch with us, leave a message about the show. And we've never said this before, but we're building a pretty significant audience here. Thanks to these people. And
Bob,
I want to tell them,
Bob,
if you want to advertise on our show, you can leave a message for us at 760-89-BALLS. Anyway.
There you go.
Bob, I want to suggest to you, and you don't even have to answer this question. I suggest to you, and I suggest really to Eli, hasn't he taken more medication than he needed today? He's in such a good mood.
I'm the same as I am every day, medicated on wild turkey.
There's nothing that can slow him down.
I did not let you know, though you know already, I'm sure, that you can also email the show. And you're going to do that at asknofiltersports@gmail.com. God, I always mess this stuff up. Now, the Twitter handles. You want to tweet? We're pretty busy with that stuff, at least Eli and I are. Would be Eli at Eli Zareth. That would be Denny at MU2Denny. Denny McLean at MU2Denny, right?
No, it's
MU2Denny.
MU2Denny.
Can't you write it down and just read it?
That's an excellent suggestion. But you know what? You went to Michigan. I only went to MU.
And you've got Michigan State shirt on today.
Yeah, I know. I haven't gotten
that
concept
crap off
yet. And my Twitter handle is Bob Page at Bob Page Sports.
It isn't. It isn't. It's at Bob Page Sports.
That's what I said.
Just,
I thought.
You said Bob Page at Bob Page Sports. It's at Bob Page Sports.
Can you believe that he would be pedantic in that fashion, Denny?
I believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
Right. Okay. So now we have Gaspar Genovese, who's written before. He loves the show and says, you know, he loves the podcast. But it's important for us to remember that we are the ones who are new to it, that podcasting's been around for 15 years. We also have Eli, if you want to read some stuff.
I can't believe what a bad job you did on that. I mean, he goes, continue to enjoy the podcast. By the way, it's not a new medium, as we've been suggesting. It's
yeah,
been around
that's
for
just what I
he
said.
Goes, you guys are new to the medium. I thought that was very well
said. That's just what I said.
Kind of.
I just rephrased it. Yeah. You got another one? Randall in Clanton Township.
By the way, Bob. Bob.
About JB and how great he's doing.
Bob, when you read somebody's letter, you shouldn't rephrase it. You should read the letter as he wrote it.
Sometimes the letter's too long.
Well, that's called editing, not rephrasing. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Or I'm going to say this, and Brandon can bleep it. One of my favorite players who ever lived was Dennis Oil Can Boy.
Oh my! I played with him.
The guy.
Yeah, I played with him.
Talking to
played
the
with him in Washington.
So years ago, I'm in the Red Sox locker room at Tiger Stadium, and I ask him a question. And he didn't really like. He looks at me and says, "Rephrase that." So
Dennis,
I said, well, okay, let me put it this way then.
Dennis, listen to this. Dennis Oil Can Boyd used to smoke 3 to 4 packs of cigarette a day.
Really?
And Whoa. Would smoke an entire pack during the ball game. He was a relief pitcher, more or less. And he would smoke a whole pack of cigarettes during 9 innings.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
There's some good stuff here. Let's see.
All right. Wait, you want to go next or should I go next?
Go ahead. But just
Bob from Downriver says, hey, boys, don't listen to losers who take the time to write. They won't be listening to you in the future. You know they're listening just to see if you read their messages. Sometimes the haters are the biggest fans. You guys are doing great. Thank you, Bob. Go ahead, Eli.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I love this one here. He goes, hey, guys, just calling to tell you that you guys have the best show in the Red Shovel Network. Then he says, the only problem is I'd like to hear outro music, which is what Drew said to me 3 weeks ago. I didn't put it in, and so it's putting it on Brandon. You're going to fall on the sword for this one. We're going to have some outro music starting today. And another one wrote, Cheryl wrote, by the way, I love to read that women write because we are mostly dominated by male listenership, about 85% men. This is Cheryl, been listening since the very beginning. I've read Eli and Denny's book. I just wanted to come with the lady said for Monday. Guys, you guys don't talk politics, and I like that. Keep it simple, just talk about sports. I love that. Anyway, and I do want you to go longer. So she says, take care about that.
Now, by the way, have Messrs. Lane and Emmerich and LaDuff been available for comment on us having the best show on the Red Shovel Network? Have they commented yet?
No. But my question is, we have the best show in the Red Shovel Network. Problem is, we have the smallest numbers in the Red Shovel Network.
That's because we've only been on the air for 4 months.
Drew gets about 15 times more listeners than we do.
I guess I got to read this one from Dale Philhart. Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Bet Sports Talk of the Detroit area. Just curious. Does Bob speak fluent Spanish as a second language?
Oh, no.
I'm always very impressed when every time you guys are talking and a Latin player's name comes up, Bob stops everything to perfectly enunciate the pronunciation of the name. Or is he just showing off?
Both.
Both.
Question, yo quiero decir que yo hablo español perfectamente. And actually, what I'm going to tell you how this came about, because I do speak Spanish fluently. When I was in umpire school, you know, I wanted to go into professional baseball. We were 100 American guys from all over the country trying to get a job in the minor leagues. This is 1973, not a big Latino presence around the U.S. Guy came in, he was so old, we couldn't believe it. He was 36 years old, and we were all 21, 22. He was a veteran Mexican League umpire. This guy sat every night alone eating dinner, and we sat every night alone eating dinner. You couldn't talk to him, and he couldn't talk to us. And I thought, this is going to be the second language of my own country. I think at that point, I probably knew how to say si and amigo. I went back to Michigan State, enrolled in Spanish 101, and have just never stopped speaking Spanish.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting. Anyway, here's one here. Good
Are we
question.
Going to do this the rest?
Just last quickie, okay?
A
guy named Sean Gardner. I was wondering what you think about the trend for sports shows to be less highlight and recap based and be more like CNN Fox News debate across the table. This is a perfect example of a industry being disrupted.
Right.
ESPN owned the franchise as well deserved with their satellites. They started with those satellites, and you can see highlights right and left. Now they're available on your phone. They're forced to go into a different direction. The great example in real life is we used to have fax machines. They were great. Disruption in the industry, and now we don't have them anymore, and that's what's happening with highlights because you can get them anywhere. So
yeah, whatever happened to the fax machines?
They're done because now.
Whatever happened to 8-track tapes?
Oh my! Somebody
They're
found.
Done too.
Wait a minute! You're not going to believe this. The two lesbians who live next door to me. This is a true story.
Why'd you have to call them lesbians? They're just two ladies. Why did you have to earmark them as lesbians?
Two great ladies. One of them is the nurse for Sharon. And let me say this to you: they went into my car the other night. I was moving stuff from one car to the other. And lo and behold, they found an 8-track tape in my car.
No kidding.
I don't know how old this tape has to be, but they haven't made 8-track tapes in a number of years.
Anyway.
And you know what? There was a bar conversation I heard about just about 6 or 8 months ago in the Detroit metro area. A couple of guys sitting around, and they said, hey, whatever happened to Eli Zara, Denny McClain, and Bob Page? And the other guy said, they're done. Well, we're back, folks. That's all I got to say. We weren't done yet.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I don't really care about the Lakers. I don't really care about
what baseball. I got more baseball.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
All right, no, go to the Lakers.
Okay.
Well, you don't need to do the Lakers. Let's do the hockey.
Okay, let's put the Lakers aside. That's fine. Yeah. The Lakers aside.
I read this story in the Lakers in the LA papers every day. This is quite a story going on. And just to make a long
story. So you do
want
to talk about
it. I do want to talk about them.
Wait a second.
He should have just shut
my head on a swivel here.
Magic Johnson. When he said, let's do the hockey, I passed out. I just now picked myself up off the floor.
First of all, Magic Johnson proved that he's not the brightest bulb in the pile.
Right.
With this little thing that he pulled the other day, it was silly. It was self-serving. I mean,
here's what happened. Okay.
And lastly, if you took the word I out of his vocabulary, he'd have been totally speechless.
So what happened was, we were doing the show on Monday, and I saw him in the background, because Brandon's got a couple of monitors up here, of him on First Take. And the point was that he left the Lakers because he was backstabbed by Rob Pelinka. Here's what Magic said to Stephen A. Smith.
Does Magic Johnson feel betrayed, and if so, by whom?
If you're going to talk betrayal, it's only with Rob. People around the Laker office was telling me Rob was saying things.
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on.
And then Pelinka's incredibly well-scripted response.
The 2 years of getting to work side by side with Irvin are some of the greatest memories I have in sports and work. He's an unbelievable person to work with. He fills the room with joy and vision. I have talked to him several times since he decided to step away. We've had many joy-filled conversations. In fact, 2 days ago, we were reliving the combine and the fourth pick and talking about the great future that this franchise has. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening.
So Magic calls it betrayal, and Pelinka just says, gee, I don't get it. Magic and I get along wonderfully. I'm totally taken aback by this.
I don't get it either. You own an NBA franchise. You got somebody named Rob Bleeping Pelinka working for you out of the University of Michigan. And you got Irvin Magic Johnson, one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise, working for you. You get into a little pissing contest. Somebody's got to go. How is it that Magic Johnson goes instead of Rob Bleeping Pelinka? Tell me.
They're both miscast. Pelinka was a former agent, and I think it goes down to management. It all comes down from the top. We said that about Mr. Ford for years. It's whoever the owner is, and Jeannie Buss seems to be one of these people.
Right.
The last person she talks to is the one who she thinks is right, and she can change her mind every day. So one of Magic's issues was that, I forget the name, a business guy was involved in decisions. Too many people were getting their finger in the pie there, and it was supposed to be his decision. And so on various big matters, he's the one who signed LeBron, et cetera. So Pelinka, maybe in a power play, was trying to push Magic out. I don't know.
And he succeeded?
I guess he did.
I don't think that happened. I think Magic just left on his own volition.
He was tired. You're probably right.
I think he was tired of people talking behind his back. And as far as LeBron never wants to leave L.A. He wants to stay in cement in L.A. You know why? Because he's doing all that production work out there.
Right.
All that television and radio.
It's going to get to the point soon where his game on the court is staying in cement, Danny.
You're absolutely
and then what
right.
They do.
He's got his finger in a lot of different things, video production.
One other thing about this story, when it broke, quote unquote, the other day from ESPN, I thought, you know, I've heard this before. I go back in the internet, I see this story in headlines in the London, England Daily Mail a month ago, and it's all over the internet. But you see the way those egotists operate at ESPN, it's no story until ESPN says it's a story. ESPN didn't break that story, and it's not a news story, but they're treating it as though it is. Yeah.
Why would you go to the London newspapers to find a story like this?
What you do, Danny, is you go to Google search and type in whatever you want.
I know what an Ethernet cable is, too. I know what a microphone is.
That's an inside joke.
You know, yes, it is. Way too far inside.
Danny,
but Bob has no idea what an Ethernet cable is. On top of that, he can't spell it.
Since we're Skyping.
You can say it in Spanish, though.
Since we're Skyping, I can see from here that your fingertips today are black from reading all the newspapers this morning. You don't have to do that anymore, Danny.
Danny doesn't read newspapers.
Anyway, we are going to talk about some hockey because I find this is the St. Louis Blues are a great story. They were in last place on January 3rd, 37 full games into the season, all right? And now they beat the Sharks in Game 7 the other night, and they're in the NHL Finals and Stanley Cup Finals first time in 49 years. And so part of the story, you know, they have the rookie goaltender, Jordan Binnington. He came in and replaced the career minor leaguer. He got hot the first game. They win 3-0. And so the guys are in a bar some night somewhere. Not the Goose Loonies, I assume, in Edmonton, the famous bar.
Yeah.
And they hear Gloria from Laura Branigan. And by the way, ripping off the name Gloria from the great song by Van Morrison and them.
Hey, Gloria,
And so they blasted.
The band was called Them.
Them,
the
yes.
Morrison was in the band.
Been the Them, yes. Yes, them yes, it was. But anyway, so this is kind of a reminder of, remember the We Are Family Pirates, you know, we're like a song.
We Are Family.
So rallies a team. So here's the song. And on May 8th this year, Y98 in St. Louis played Gloria, Laura Branigan's version, for 24 consecutive hours. So just a cute story about a team.
But the best version of this, Denny won't know, but you will, Eli. The best version of that song ever done, obviously, by the Shadows of Night out of Chicago, Illinois. Gloria.
The Van Morrison Gloria, as opposed to the Laura Branigan Gloria. Right.
Van Morrison wrote the song, but the Shadows of Night out of Chicago had the biggest, best version by far.
Are you allowed to take the name of a song, Gloria, that was a great song that got Van Morrison's career, and you can just copy the name and make a completely different song? And aren't there copyrights on this stuff?
Well, there normally is. I don't quite understand how they get away with it, but, you know, maybe they got permission. Who knows?
Brandon, you're a rock and roller. Can you do that? Can you just take the name of a song?
Well, I mean, it's somebody's name. There's several different songs that are called Mandy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah.
You mean besides the classic from Barry Manilow? There's only one Mandy, if you ask me. Okay. All right. I get it.
You got it?
I got it.
That's good. Glad to hear that.
All right. So you were leading into hockey, weren't you?
Yes.
And you'd like to, and I know Denny's chomping at the bit to get in his house. Denny, who's playing in the Stanley Cup finals this year?
You don't know? The Bruins and the Blues.
There you go.
What's the matter with you today? I mean, how much did you take? I mean, come on. You got to take half doses for the show. Not full doses, just half doses.
So, Danny, who is Tory
Krug? God, we're going to have to get a nurse for him.
Who is Tory Krug?
Tory Krug was a great right-hander who used to play for his Mount Carmel High School.
Mount Carmel.
Actually, he's a left-hander. He's a left-handed shot out of Troy, Michigan. Former Michigan State star is one of the standout defensemen of the Boston Bruins. So that's kind of why I'd like to see the Bruins win.
By the way, as long as we're doing who's Paul Farrakhan?
Louis Farrakhan?
He's got to be Louis Farrakhan's brother, right?
I mean, you know everything. Paul Farrakhan.
I didn't say I know everything.
Well, that's what you implied.
Well, then you tell me. Who's Paul Farrakhan?
I don't know. I'm just asking. No,
he
was my catcher at Mount Carmel High School.
Anyway, by the way, last December 16th, just, you know, because the analytics, I love it. At any time, at any game, you can go online and find out what the odds are of the team that's winning to win and the team is losing to lose. An analytics company called Money Puck had St. Louis's odds at 0.6% back in December to be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. Now, here's the thing. The Stanley Cup Finals start this coming Monday night. You would think, well, we're going to start Saturday night. They don't want to go head-to-head at the NHL with the NBA Saturday night game. I'm sure there's going to be one, I would think, anyway. They're going to start Monday night, which means if the Blues and the Bruins go seven games, the hockey season will end on June 12th. Ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
All the seasons are ridiculous. They all go longer than the show.
Way too long.
Is it more ridiculous?
Maybe they can play them outside. As bad as the weather is, maybe they could ice up a stadium.
Well, how about this for a season? You ready for this? Here's the longest season of all. The NFL plays 16 games.
Terrible.
The season has already begun with these, what's it called, off-season training activities?
Yeah, right.
The OTAs have begun, so all the speculation, how are they going to do? How does the offense look? How's this rookie going to look? It goes on till the beginning of February. So get ready.
And they do it all day long on ESPN.
Yeah,
all day long.
Well, the NFL Network does
it. And the great trendsetter here was, of course, the late Bowie Kuhn, who one night in Pittsburgh during the World Series, was that the first World Series night game? One of the first, anyway.
Yeah.
It was 28 degrees. They're trying to play the World Series at night, and he had on a white short-sleeve shirt in the stands. Remember that?
Right.
Remember that?
Just
when he
show,
did that?
Yes.
Ridiculous. Now, you know, the last show, guys, we talked about this bogus, ridiculous, meaningless world championship tournament going on in hockey. And what did I say? You're taking a chance that somebody's really going to get hurt in this meaningless tournament. Did you see what happened to Dylan Larkin the other night?
No.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't watch the tournament. What happened?
He took a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot right in the groin. Now, when you say the groin, did it hit him at the testicles? I mean, I presume it did. Yeah. He couldn't get up off the ice. They finally took two guys, lifted him off. They put him back in a locker room, and he's out for the rest of this tournament. That's the heart and soul of the Detroit Red Wings, and the captain-to-be nearly suffered a serious, grievous injury in the World Bleeping Hockey Championships.
So what?
as Denny said, and was a great comment last show, they'll just get new players.
That's all. They got a zillion players waiting to play hockey, I think.
Did you see, speaking of that, Detroit, did you see what Cabrera said about his lack of home runs? His RBIs are all bleeding. He goes, the power of the doubles, that kind of stuff. I told myself, I thought I was ready for the season. When the season comes, it's always too fast, like it's too fast for me. So I got to do a lot of adjustments in the season, trying to be back in my normal position at home plate, trying to produce more. There's something, Miguel Cabrera does not forget how to hit. The man's an incredible talent, Hall of Famer, compared favorably to Hank Aaron and all the other great right-handers. What is it? What don't we know?
I think he's hurt. I really believe he's hurt. I can't imagine some guy going from 25, 30 home runs every year to one.
To 44, 30.
To one.
How about 44
we're
twice?
We're talking one, 50 games. One. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. On top of that, you know, he had come up with an alibi a couple of weeks ago that he doesn't have anybody hitting behind him, right? Yeah. So I don't know. If you're going to make alibis, stay with your alibis. If you aren't, just stand up like a man and tell him something's happened or you're hurt. But come up with the truth here, because you're fooling everybody right now with some kind of a story. And I don't have an explanation for it. I just can't. Hell, Ray Oyler used to hit two or three home runs a year.
I doubt that.
No, he did.
So I met this guy, insurance executive from Hartford a few years ago down in Florida.
A couple years ago in Hartford.
And he's a big Red Sox fan. So the Tigers had just gotten Cespedes at the time, right?
Yeah.
So this guy says to me, he says, you guys are going to hate Cespedes. I said, why? He said, because he's a dog. He's a five-tool player. What are you talking about? He says, he's a dog. He's an arrowhead. He doesn't play hard. Did you see what happened to Mr. Cespedes?
He broke his ankle.
Broke his ankle, stepping into a hole on his ranch, he claims. But the Mets, who owe him $27, $30 million a year, guaranteed this year and next, I mean, yeah, how did he really hurt that ankle? They're looking into suing to abrogate this contract and make sure Cespedes is never seen before. Danny, two things about this as a former player for you. If you're injured and you can't play unless you're in the hospital, don't you want to still be around your teammates to provide moral support? Or are you taking off the rest of the year to go to your ranch someplace else?
No, you really should be around the ballpark. Now, if he's got a compounded fracture, then, of course, he can't probably move around much. But I doubt if you're going to keep a guy that young and that, you know, big and strong down. So I don't know. This
he was moving around fine until he just broke his foot again or whatever it was. He's moving around fine.
Well, you know, people break things all the time, and there's no reason for it unless you make a mistake. And apparently, we got to buy his story at this point in time. We have nothing to go against, and nobody's going to come out of the woodwork if he did it on his ranch.
He's always
provide
seemed to
provide moral support. Sit in that dugout and cheer your
teammates
on.
I agreed with you. I think, yes, he belongs there.
It seems to fit. I always thought the guy was just a hopeless hot dog. He's just.
I did too.
And so,
but I thought he could hit.
And so, not hanging out with the team seems like something that that an arrogant hot dog would do. Kind of like when you kind of went off on your own when you played. I'm sorry.
Bull is not true. You know it's not true.
That's because of your nasty lesbian comment you made to me earlier.
You guys get off this stuff. So we have another wannabe New York Met in the news, and this is the legendary Tim Tebow. Now, the other night, Tim Tebow, I'm so tired of this story. Listen to this. The other night, he hits his first AAA home run for Syracuse, all right? And the newspaper guy writing this on the internet is talking about Tebow, and he says he had entered that game hitting 154, 213, 202. Jeez. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell does that mean? 154 is his batting average, but then I would put how many home runs he has, how many RBIs he has. I mean, this sabermetric stuff and the things these guys are writing talking about.
Those are legit. Those are all good stats. OPS, on-base plus slugging.
But Bobby.
On-base percentage. Those are all good stats.
Bobby and Eli, listen to me. The only reason he's playing is because he puts some people in the seats.
Right.
He is not playing because he's going to be a major league ball player. He can't play AAA, AA, and A ball. He can't play in any of them.
He is sustaining his public image by being out there. Good for him.
You think he's sustaining his public image? Hitting 154?
Bob just talked about him in this show, which is
I understand that, but I mean, the guy's got a television show, a network show, and I think it's great. I think he should make as much money as he can. But God, it's kind of fraudulent, for God's sakes, to stand out there and think you're going to be in the major leagues unless he buys a ticket.
I guess this is kind of the garbage part of the show as we close it down.
We have no garbage part of the show. Closely because I got nothing else.
His selections of words
nothing else?
At the end of the show are awful, aren't they? They're just terrible. You're going to be suspended if you keep this.
I agree with
you.
The garbage part of the show.
Everybody tune out now.
And I didn't mean that.
It's kind of the what you got part of the show. Like, what you got? Like, Bob was like, hey, I got a few more things.
And that's what we do. We do a what you got.
Okay, what you got? I got a what you got, okay? Well, the other day, Denny brought up the whole thing about Brandel Chamblee, who's trying to, you know, fill the endless hours in the Golf Channel with material. So you reach, and he talked about how Brooks Koepka's weight loss for the ESPN body issue was careless and maybe was going to cost him. Well, after he won the other day.
No, you can't talk about this because I had this story on this show 3 weeks ago
and you mentioned it.
Laughed me. You shouted me down and laughed at me. You said, nobody cared.
We did.
And now you're bringing this up, Eli. You got cojones, man. That's what I got to say.
That, you know, not
go ahead, finish your story.
No, so I'm going to say, hey, Brandel Chamblee apologized, and Koepka admitted that it had really angered him, and Chamblee admitted he was wrong. He said he's handled it mentally, he's handled it physically, he's handled it technically, which is exactly what Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods did, so he made a believer out of me. I was just thinking, though, about famous feuds between athletes and media people. They don't happen that often.
They used to.
The one that really got me in the last few years was when David Price went off on Dennis Eckersley. I don't know if you read about that.
We remember that. Yeah.
He confronted him on a plane. That was really, really ugly. You and Jim Hawkins had it. Remember he dumped the ball?
No, it wasn't Hawkins. It was Spoelstra.
Didn't you get some?
Waddy Spoelstra, he was 90 years old.
Didn't you get water dumped over your head?
Jim Hawkins went along with it. Jim Hawkins was fine with it. Well, Watson Spoelstra is the one that ran to Jim Campbell and told him that I dumped the water. First of all, he told him I dumped the water. I dumped a bottle of urine on his head.
You did?
No, it was water. What he said.
Oh, I said the translation.
It was pure water. Yeah. And Campbell, just thinking that Spoelstra would never lie to him, Spoelstra said, oh, go get him. And he did. He suspended me the rest of the season.
And that, by the way, since we mentioned him earlier, that is Eric Spoelstra's grandfather.
It is.
The late Watson Spoelstra. Yep. And Waddy's son, John, was a terrific NBA executive with the Nets and other teams. So it's quite a family.
It is quite a family.
And about 20 years ago, the ugliest one I ever saw, when Deion Sanders was playing a football game, he dumped, I think, a bucket of water on Tim McCarver. And it was recorded in the locker room because there were cameras there, you know, ripping back on Deion. And that was an ugly one that almost got bad. That could have gotten real. And McCarver stood up to him. And also the ugliest I ever thought and the cheapest shot of all time was when Jim Rome called Jim Everett.
That was
Chris
ridiculous.
Everett. That was ridiculous.
I was
you know what? It vaulted the kid's career.
I was embarrassed to be a sports commentator on that day.
Yeah. Oh, you've now, never been
you
embarrassed about
else,
a thing.
I got something for Denny. If you go got ahead. Nothing else, okay, Denny. Who was a big star, as everyone knows, in the 1968 World Championship.
See how he puts the butter on the bread first?
played with three guys on that ball club who were the only three guys on the 68 Tigers who were actually born in Detroit. Who were they? Three guys on your ball club were born in Detroit.
Willie Horton.
Bill Freehan, Willie Horton.
That's good.
Actually, it wasn't Willie. The other guy was Lenny Green, the late Lenny Green. He just died a short time ago.
Who was the third guy?
It was Freehan. It was Lenny Green. Right. And the third guy is, I'm watching the game the other night. They make reference to somebody on the 65 Mets. And I thought, gee, who played in that club again? I was shocked to see that he had played on the 65 Mets.
What position?
And then, I'll give you that. I'm waiting for you because I think you're going to get this. And then wound up actually pitching for the 1968 Detroit Tigers. He went 2-2 for your club. He is one of the greatest athletes Detroit ever produced.
Mickey Stanley?
Alex Johnson?
Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Dennis Rybant. One of the greatest athletes that the city of Detroit ever produced, who was still playing national tennis tournaments at the age of 60. He was an outstanding junior hockey player with Hamilton. Mayo Smith apparently didn't like him.
No,
that's what he says.
No, that's not true. Dennis was not a very good pitcher. Be honest with this story. He just did not fit in our ball club either. He was kind of a wild around guy.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. And now here's another thing I want to ask you about. He claims that Jim Campbell traded him away because of something that happened on May 26, 1968 in Oakland. Do you remember what happened that day? Bench clearing brawl between the Tigers and the Oakland A's, and somebody on your ball club threw a ball into the stands and hit and injured a woman.
Yeah.
And Campbell said Rybant was the guy who did it.
Dennis was the guy
and
that did
Rybant
it.
Always said he wasn't. So I thought this was pretty interesting stuff about your team. What was that brawl about?
I'll tell you, somebody knocking somebody down. But the thing with Rybant was that the ball could have only come from one place. That's how they nailed Dennis. And then eventually Campbell would tell any number of guys who really threw the ball, and it was Rybant, because what happened was the players went to Campbell. Three or four of the players went to Campbell because they were going to get the wrong guy at one time.
Brandon, did you have something to add to that?
I'm wondering if this is the story in which you knew that there was going to be a brawl, and so you grabbed, was it Oil Can Boy?
This is a long time ago, 68.
This is a long time ago. But there was another story. We had a big, big row with the Kansas City Royals, with Kansas City A's at the time.
Okay.
And before the game, it had started the night before, and I went to, it wasn't Oil Can Boy.
Oscar Chavarria?
Yeah, something like that, Oscar Chavarria. And I went to him before the game started, and I said, listen, if we fight tonight, I'll meet you out behind second base. We'll grab each other and roll around in the dirt. That's exactly what I told him.
Hell, look at this picture. And
that is hilarious.
I will post this on the
website.
There I am.
You got your dukes up.
There's the truth.
That picture. That's hilarious.
There's a fantastic picture of Denny and Oscar squaring up. Yeah.
Guess who that number five is going to break up the fight?
Is it Campaneris?
Al Dark.
I'm the one you jerk offs are talking about. I can't see what you're looking at.
That's because you're in New York.
You have to look at the website.
Well, move to Michigan. You'll see more.
So what happened? Did you ever?
We grabbed each other and rolled around in the sand.
Because you looked like you're getting ready to fight.
Great photo.
That is terrific.
The last thing in the world I wanted to do.
How'd you find that, man? That's amazing.
But I told him the night before, I said, whatever you do, don't hit. Because I don't want to hit you back and break my wrist.
You know what I don't get? This is off the subject. That took place in 1968. Who posted that you can find it on the internet? Somebody had to take the time and put that picture up there.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, so you're talking about where guys are from.
Anyway, I'm talking about Rybant, who was such a great high school pitcher that he never pitched in high school in Detroit because the competition wasn't good enough. He pitched nationally for all these great amateur teams around Detroit. He winds up playing for the national championship against a ball club from Ohio that had Eddie Brinkman and John Havlicek playing for it, and they lost to the Brinkman-Havlicek team. And the only other thing about Dennis Rybant, traded to the Pittsburgh Pirates, even up for Bo Bolinski.
I know.
Bo Bolinski, who's married to who? The famous actress Mamie Van Doren.
And who ran around with Mamie Van Doren and Bo Bolinski? Dean Chance.
So here's your since Bob was talking. Final thing, since Bob was talking about Detroit-born players, who's the only? He's a former Tiger, and he was a funny guy, and I really liked him. The only Major League Baseball player in history who was born in Italy. We've had many Italians in the game, but the only man in Major League history born in Italy who came.
That's so easy. Rino Bertoia of Windsor, Ontario, who taught high school in Windsor for many, many years after he played in the Tigers
in the
late 50s.
What's that look for, Denny? Just,
who cares?
Who cares? Okay.
That's a great question.
And by the way, enjoy the outro music as we say goodbye.
Yeah, we got that now.
And we'll see you again. By the way.
You know what I'll do? I'll bring the keyboards next week. I'll do the outro.
You could do that. We are going to record our next show on Tuesday rather than Monday. Monday is Memorial Day, so look for our new show to be posted on Tuesday, May, whatever the heck that day is coming up, May something.
Folks, I'd just like to say this. While you're having your cookouts, while you're doing whatever you're doing, remember what this day is all about. It is our most solemn day in America. Mm-hmm. Because the three of us wouldn't be sitting here doing what we're doing and anybody else without those guys who died so we could enjoy the freedom we have. I hate to sound, old.
That's okay.
No, not just the guys who died. It's the guys who went there who could have died, who came back damaged.
Honor. or dead.
We don't say enough. We just don't say enough about our soldiers and the things they do for us. So God bless them.
And the sad thing, how poorly they're treated when they get back after suffering the not just the ravages of war, but the thought of being in a war and what it does to your brain from there on in.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to get a hold of the VA and going to straighten that out.
So.
And it's going to be a much better life for all of these
happy
guys.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
No,
we'll see
never
you next
say
week.
That. It's not a happy Memorial Day.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a reflective Memorial Day weekend. There you go.
Oh, stop it. Have a great weekend.